Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Krisa's Daf. Hey, we begin on Daled Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Once again, about multiple violations covered under the single category. Amar Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila says like this. A fellow is meant to eat Maser Sheni inside Yerushalayim only. However, Ochal Maser, let's say he ate the Maser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. So he takes, a tenth of the crop, is meant to bring it up to Yerushalayim, and consume it there. He did not. He ate it outside. And he ate different types. Some grain, some grapes, some olives. Three different types of Maser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. How many times Malkus does he get? Ochal Maser, Dogon, he ate the Maser of grain, Vesirish, wine, Vyitzer, oil, Lekas, Shalash. He gets three times Malkus. Why? Each one is a separate violation. Asks the Gemara, but after all, it's covered under the same collective law. Do not eat X, Y, Z. You don't get multiple punishments for one law, which collectively covers many variations. Shani, well, here it's different. The Miatri Kura, you have extra psukim to indicate that, in fact, it elicits multiple consequences. Look, Michti, Kasa Rachmana, once the Pasuk stipulates, do eat it inside Yerushalayim. Kasa Rachmana, Ve'ochata, Lefnei Hashem, Alkecha, you should eat before Hashem in Yerushalayim. Ma'asar Degoncha, Tiroishcha, Vitzarecha, all these types, Bifnim, in, only inside Yerushalayim, which implies, Bachutz, lay outside, not. Why the repetition? To come back and say, do not eat outside. Why bother saying, l'chalik? Pasuk is telling you, shemamin l'chalik, to tell you that each one gets its own liability. Ask the Gemara, oh, well, if only from the first pasuk, you wouldn't have an outright lav. It would be just, implied, inferred. Yes, here, obviously not there. That's not as powerful as an outright loisase, which triggers malchus. So perhaps that's why the pasuk repeated itself. Not for the reason of differentiating and, right, giving separate. No. Imehu, because if only from that first pasuk, do eat it inside, which infers don't outside, I mean, I would think, if he does it outside instead of inside, he violated the assay. The yes. Inside, which implies no outside. Ava balave, perhaps there's no outright love. Amat lachet, that's why the pasuk had to come around. Let's go to the next amat. Kas rachman alay suchal. Lukma balav, the reason was to apply a love to it. Vadai, and love shabachlalos, and still. The good old love shabachlalos. Why are you getting multiple malchus? Im kain, says the Gemara, because once again, if the point was simply to outline the law, name a craw, the pasuk could just say it in general. It already said, don't eat this, that, and the other thing. Do eat this, that, and the other thing inside, which implies don't eat it outside. The pasuk would just have to repeat a partial reference. Do not eat them outside. Why identify each and every item? Master, the gancha, tiroish, vitzarecha. What's that point? For the yehudi, achila. To apply a separate consequence for each one. Now we shift to a different example of a collective issur which covers many variations. Chadash, the prohibition of eating grain prior to the 16th of Nisan when they offer the Omer, the Minchas Omer, which is comprised of roasted stalks, which they turn into a mincha. So if one eats from the new crop before the omer is offered, he has transgressed the issur of chadash. What if he eats all different types of grain? Omer b'itzcha, oichel lechem, he eats bread, kali, roasted kernels with caramel. caramels when it's still moist and popped out of the husk just manually, you know, with your finger. So different forms, different types of preparation. We'll get three times malchus, one per. Ask the Gemara once again, isn't it all covered under one collective lav? Because the pasuk says, "V'lechem v'kali v'karmel lo yisoichlu ad etzem hayom hazeh." So it's just one lav and all different types. Why three malchus? V'ein loikin lav shebichlos. We do not apply malchus separately for items covered under the same collective lav. Shani hach. Once again, here it's different. The yatri kroy, because you have an extra psuk. What's extra? Leim akrol lechem. The pasuk could have simply sufficed with saying, "Do not eat bread," and we would learn everything from bread. We learn the other types from the bread. Why the repetition? To tell you, each one gets its own punishment. Well, it's not so simple. You can challenge this suggestion. Learn everything from bread. Mal lechem, shekenes rabba, it's al chalo. Lechem has an advantage over the other ones. It's chayv and chalo. You make a proper dough, you bake a bread, you separate the portion for the kohen. Some of it doesn't apply to kernels and stalks. So perhaps that's why it has the extra Isra of Chadash, unlike the other types. Fine. Lichtav Kali. Fine, let the Torah just say Kali before the Omer is Asr. Lichtav Lechem. And leave out Lechem and Karmel. B'nei Lech Mikali. We'll learn the other ones from the Kali. No, you can't. Lechem Mikali Le'asa. You can't learn bread from Kali, but from the Kali Yisei B'nei, because Kali has an advantage. Kali is simply roasted stalks, unadulterated, unchanged, untransformed. It's still in its original form. Perhaps that's why it has Isra Chodesh. Lechem le'isi be'ene, as opposed to bread which has been transformed. Karmel v'kali le'asi. On the other hand, you can't learn karmel from kali, because maybe kali is unique from the kali in the Shrabbeitz of Menachos. Kali has an advantage over karmel, because kali is used by Menachos. We find that kali is used for Minchas Omer, something unique, something special. Karmel is not used for mincha. Learn the Shabbat of Menachos. Okay, that option is out. Next option, lichtav karmel. Just write karmel before the Omer is also. And we would learn the other ones from Karmel. B'nei lav, lechem, v'kali mina, ikal mirprach. Once again, you can challenge that suggestion. Mala Karmel, shkelin ishtan v'riyasai. Perhaps, you know what's unique about Karmel? It wasn't transformed at all. No change at all. It is as it was. Fresh kernels. As opposed to the other ones, which did undergo some level of transformation. Even Kali was a little bit transformed. It was roasted. You're right, minchad l'yalfi. So you cannot learn two from one. Nelef chadim in train. Fine. So just write two. Omit the third one, which we'll learn from the other two. But we have some sort of common denominator. Oyotav kro lechem v'nelef mikali v'karmel. Leave out bread. And learn bread from kali v'karmel. Ikal mirfa. You can refute that as well. Mal kali v'karmel. This nebeinei. Kali and karmel has an advantage over lechem, which has been totally transformed into a new entity, as opposed to kali v'karmel, which somewhat retained the original form. Maybe that's why they're also fine. Lanichtav krok karmel, leave out karmel. Ve'neilav melechem v'kali, learn out from lechem v'kali. Ikal mifrach. You can negate that as well. Mal lechem v'kali. Shkenes rabbat zu menachos. Lechem has an advantage because it's used for menachos. Rashi says lechem aponim, shtei alechem. Likewise, kali used for the omer as opposed to karmel, which has no mincha application. Amachar v'itzchak. I'll tell you, leinichtav krok kali, leave out kali, v'neilav from lechem v'karmel. Learn from lechem v'karmel. Ma parchas, how could you negate that? E parchas, if you'll come back and say, malu lechem shkenes shraba, etzel chala. Bread has an advantage because chiyuv chala applies to it. Karmel yuchiyach, karmel will undo that argument because there's no chala by karmel. And still, Yisro Chadosh applies. V'yimishom the karmel and ishtan riyasai. Well, if you go back and say, well, karmel is different than kali because karmel, it is in its original form, intact. as opposed to Kali, which has some sort of lechem yechiach. Lechem will undo that argument because lechem was converted and it still has Yisroch Chadosh. Hilkach loike de miyater. Oh, we've just discovered the extra pasuk. That explains why there's an extra malchus per type. Says the Gemara, you're right about Kali being extra. Maybe we can say Kali de miyater mechayev chado. Kali, which is extra, unneeded. It's stated to tell you that it has its own punishment. Akulin mechayev chad, where maybe only one chiyuv on the other two, because they aren't really extra. Imkain, if it were so, that it's one chiyuv for kali and one chiyuv for lechem and karmel together, nichtav kro lechem karmel v'kali. The pasuk should sequence it differently. First lechem v'karmel, which have its own chiyuv, both covered under the same chiyuv, and then v'kali has a separate chiyuv. Inami yodhi, all the way around. Put Kali in the beginning because he's separate from the rest. Nicht of Kali and then Lechem Bekamel. Amai Kassel the Kali Bam. So why do you stick Kali right in the middle? It says Lechem and then Kali and then Karmel. Oh, the Pasuk is teaching us. Lechem ke Kali. Lechem has the same status as Kali. Nechayev. Hubi Chayev the same as Kali, meaning Kali is separate, so is Lechem. And likewise Bekamel, Nechayev Bekali. Or ke Kali. And just like Kali has its own Chiv, likewise Karmel. Hence we know if one consumes three types of chadash, lechem, kali, v'karmel, it triggers three separate malchus. Amar b'yani. La'olam, keep in mind, al tehei gzeira shava kala b'necha. One should never take the concept of gzeira shava lightly. Al tehei kala b'necha. I'll tell you why. Shari pigel. How do we even know that karas applies to one consumes pigel? Echa megufi Torah, it's one of the fundamentals of Torah. And guess where it learns from? Through Gzera Shava, it's not even an explicit pasuk. What is the Gzera Shava? Damar Rabbi Yechna. Tony Zadar Bar Levi taught us a drasha. Nemar Lahalan Vo'ichl V'ani Yisa. We find by Noisar, material that was left over from the carbon, Von Itzari carries a sin. We have the Lashon Avoyna Yisa, and Amakam we have over here by Pigel. But never Jachel Zmen Avoyna Tisa, similar expression, we connect. Malal and Kores, just like this Kores by Noisar, Afkan Kores, likewise this Kores by Pigel. Amar Simoy, another example of a fundamental halacha derived from Zereshav. Loyal Malti Zereshav, Akal by Nachshari Noisar. Echon Ugubi Torah, how do we even know that this Kores by Noisar? So sort of a chain derivation, right? We learn Pigel from Noisar. And Noisa learns from Shari Noisa Echam Gubaitur Velim that cost of Elam Xerah Shava. Chorus by Noisa also learned from Xerah Shava. Mai, what's Xerah Shava? Mai, Yolav Kodesh Kodesh. Through Kodesh Kodesh. Ksiv Hacha. This is a good Ksiv Hacha. Over here by the Noisa it says Voichla Vanisa. Kes Kodesh Hashem Chilel. Uksiv v'sarafta sanoysa b'esh ki Kodesh. Hu. So, v'echav anisa ki Kodesh Hashem Chilel doesn't stipulate that it's nicer. How do we know it's nicer? The answer is connected. V'sarafta sanoysa b'esh ki Kodesh. There we have the word Kodesh in the context of Noisar. Likewise over here, when it says Kodesh Hashem, it's talking about Noisar. So the Pasuk, which mentions Kores over there, is talking about Noisar. So that's how we know the Vayichal Vanisa Kodesh Hachila V'nichrasa is applying to Kores, is applying Kores to Noisar, and then we extend it over to Pigel, as we said before. Amar Abaye, another example of a basic halacha learned from Gzeirah Shavah. Don't take it lightly. The erva, getting involved with one's daughter, who was born from his non-wife, woman who was forced, possibly involved with, not a wife, so out of marriage. How do we know that it's asur? How do we know that there is punishment of Sreifa? Hainin Guvatur, it's one of the fundamentals of Torah. And it's learned Fame Xerushav Limda Kosam Xerushav Damarava. Amali, who told me, Rabbi Yitzchak Baraptimi, ask Yahina Hainali Sur. How do we know that there's Isur Babitim and Sasai? We connect it to the Pasuk that speaks about Bas Ishtay, the daughter of his wife. where it says the word Heina, and it says the word Heina here as well. That's how we know that a daughter from a non-wife is osos. What about the punishment? And since it says Heima in both locations, and over there by Bas Ishta it says Zima and there is Sreifa. So we apply that here as well. It says Zima and Sreifa here as well. And so I learn from Gzereshav. Omar Bashi. Another example of such. Al te Gzereshava kalabe lechashar niskalim. How do we know that we stoned any skalim? Heinen guf haTorah is one of the fundamentals of Torah. V'loylim don akosov. Elam Gzereshava. It's learned from Gzereshav. The Sanya nemar kad meyem bum. We find by some arayis it says dmei bum, right? Their blood is on their heads, meaning they're responsible for their death. We find by the fellows involved in all kinds of sorcery, it says dmei bum, and over there it stipulates death by stoning. Here as well, mala halam biskila, over here as well, afkan biskila. So if one copies the recipe of the fragrant oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that triggers a karis consequence. So in what context? Hamafatim as Hashem Lilmud. Boy, let's say he's doing it to practice, so that he could learn how to do it and prepare it for the tzibur. Oh yeah, Hamanas Lamaisel Tzibur, or he's actually putting it together, mixing the oil with the fragrant ingredients, in order to provide it for the public. It's not for himself, it's for the Beis HaMikdash. Potter. But lo sochayev. If he goes in and makes the Shema Mishka for his own personal smearing, is chayev. Asach min potter. On the other hand, suppose he actually made Shema Mishka for himself and he used it. Now applying Shema Mishka is its own violation. Right? There's mefatim, preparing it, and then there's sach. But ironically, sach is only if he takes the original, the real, legitimate Shema Mishka from the Beis HaMikdash and puts it upon himself. Not so if he smears the oil that he himself prepared. He's only chai for applying that original, real Shema Mishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Let's go back and review. If he prepares the Shema to study its making, to practice, or with the intent of handing it over to the Tzibur's pot. How do we know? We find a similar violation when it comes to Keteris. Preparing the Keteris is an Isser, if done for private use. And it says Lashon Maskunta in its configuration, in its proportion, in its recipe. We find Maskunta over here by the Shema Mishka. So we'll compare. Uksil Gav Keteris, since by the Keteris it says, Isser is only if you're doing it for personal use. Let's ask Lochem. We learn Lochem with also the Isser is only if you're doing it for yourself. Ava la Moisra le Tzibur, but if it's for the tzibur's potter, got Mashem and Ami, same thing with the oil. La Maisra tzibur's potter. Fine. Says the Gemara, once you're connecting, but the had a k'teris, v'nelef Mashem, why can't k'teris learn from Shemen as well? In what way? Ma Shemen ki mefatam chatzoyin potter, it's like by the oil. If he prepares, half a recipe, he's potter. It has to be full, complete. Af k'teris nami ki mefatam chatzoyin potter, perhaps k'teris as well. If he does only half a recipe, it's three potter. Why does Rava tell us otherwise? That even if he prepares just an amount for daily use, he's also chayiv. Keteris shepitma chatzoyin chayiv. He's only chayiv if he prepares as per a full year's annual quantity of keteris. If he does part, half, Rabbi says even by keteris, even not only if he does a full year's quantity, even keteris even if he does part of the recipe is chayiv. In contrast to shemen, where it's all or nothing, shepit mechatzoyin is potter. Why don't we compare? Just like by the shemen, it has to be the full amount. Same with the Akteris. Amalach, Rava says like this. Rava would respond, Gam Hashem Ksiv, Uvmas Kuntalei Sasu Kamayu. You're not meant to emulate exactly the way it was done then. Kamayu the Asr. Aval Chetzi Shabbatami, don't do it exactly, full recipe, but half, a part, that's okay. Gam Akteris However, by the Keteres it says Ksiv Vakteres Asher Tasa. Tasa means Kolasi the Keteres, any formulating of Keteres, even one day's amount. Efshar the Makta Pras Shachrus Pras Ben Arbaim. Fact is that even a small amount is suitable for Akrova. Every day they will make there a mana, split into two parts, half the morning, half the afternoon. So it's done piecemeal. And likewise, if he prepares piecemeal, it's also considered a violation. Turn it up on. Speaking of which, how did they manufacture the Shemen HaMishcha? How much was it? In quantity? What kind of ingredients were included? Turn it up on. Shemen HaMishcha contained the following. Moir Durer. The Rambam learns that moir is a type of fragrance which is made of blood of a certain animal found in Eretz Hoidu in India. Some call it musk oil. So how much of that? Moir Durer, hey, may is 500. We speak about numbers, we're talking about weight of shkolim. So there was a certain weight called a shekel weight, the amount that weighs like a shekel. 500 of that. Kida, a certain root of a plant called Kida, it's also called Ktsia. Once again, Heimei is 500. Kinmon Besem, that's the bark of the cinnamon. Chamishmei is 500. Beknei Boisem, Chamishim was 250. So if you count it all up, Nimtu Kulam, you have Elef, Ushvameus, Chamishim, 1750. I mean, obviously, we'll count it up. Tana, Minyana, Oslash, Kamash, Mondo. Tana is just giving us a tally, counting it up for us. The point is like this. The Tana is making a point. Tana, Kakash, the Tana really had a kasha. Because how do we know that Kinmon Besem is a total of 500? And Knei Baisim is only 250. If you look at the Pasuk, if you have it on the margin, it's very helpful. The Pasuk says like this, V'ata kach l'chor b'samim reish, mor d'ror chameshmei, it's fine. V'kinmon besem machatzisoi, half of the total amount that's needed, is chameshim umasayim 250, which means twice 250 for a total of 500. And then, v'knei baisim, also chameshim umasayim 250. Now, does it mean 250 in total? Or 250 times 2, like the previous ingredient. So the Tana wasn't sure. Tana kakashile. Ema, perhaps you can suggest that Knei Baisim was also 250 times 2. Ema Knei Baisim, just like the previous ingredient, Kinmon Besim. Ma Kinmon Besim achtsisoi. Chamish Mosam, just like the previous ingredient, half of it was 250, meaning a total of 500. Maybe this one as well is 500. Av Knei Baisim achtsisoi chamish Mosam. In which case you end up with 2,000 in total. Davla train alfin. Bebachanamnu. So maybe that's taka true. In Cain, the answer is no. Look closer at the pasuk again. Because if it were so, the pasuk would just bundle it together, both ingredients, because they have the same amount. In Cain, nichtav kro, kinmon besem, and then uknei besem. Both of them, mechta, which was signed, both had the same formula. Half is 250. The pasuk split it up to tell you. Only the first ingredient is half. Half is 250, meaning 250 times 2, whereas the second ingredient is a total of 250, which tallies up to 1750 in total. You know, when you do all these weighings, is it exact, or do you do a little bit, you know, a tip? Tip it a bit, right? That's what's called a tip, when you tip the, because they used to weigh it and tip it a bit, right? And actually, that's the way you're supposed to weigh in a commercial setting. Sadek Mishal Chavah, take them into a tip a little bit and give the customer a bit extra. So what happens to measuring the components of the Shemen HaMishcha? Is it exactly, or is it tipped a bit? When he measures up these ingredients, Bechreahu Shekel, does he tip it a bit? Or Yayin Ba'ayin Shekel, or exactly? Omar Lei, of course exactly. Rachmona Omar Bad Devad Torah uses a lashon of Bad Devad, which is actually by the Torahs, but we compare Torahs to Shemen HaMishcha. It's meant to be with exactness, and you tell him you tip at Amr's Bechreya. It says the Gemara, but how could you avoid the tipping? Hashem pays attention to the tippings. Apparently, he's supposed to do that. Apparently, there's tipping. Elam Arvida. You tip. The Kinman Besim. Why is it when it comes to Kinman Besim, Torah says split it up? What's the point of measuring it twice? The goal is 500. Just do it in one shot. Why is he bringing Machsisai of 500? Meaning, Chamish Masayim Bachadzim once. Then again, Chamish Masayim Bachadzim. Kibun the Kulu, Hey Meyas Havin. If in any case you're aiming for 500, Naisi, Hey Meyas Vasachas. Why don't you do it at once? Rami, no? Apparently it's for the tipping. Because each way gets its own tip. Mirda Kamaisal, Kibun Besam betrays him. The reason why the Torah instructed us to do it in two stages, Hechrei is because it has a tip. So each one gets a separate tip. And that's the purpose. In fact, Hashem pays attention to that as well. My bad bevat. So what then does the pasuk mean? Bad bevat, which indicates with preciseness and exactness. Amar Avinu shelayaniach mishkol b'mishkol v'yishkol. The Torah is just saying like this. Bad bevat means that you measure it properly. You weigh it properly. Opposite the weight corresponding to the amount that you need, as opposed to once you weigh up the first batch of ingredients, you can't use that material, that ingredient, as a counterweight for the next ingredient. It has to be weighed corresponding to the actual weight itself, the metal weight. That's the aloha. Turn it up. Fine. So we have the ingredients, we have the amount. What is the procedure? When Moshe Rabbeinu processed the Shem Mishcha, how did he do it? He would soak the roots, the ingredients, in the oil. It was 12 lug of oil. First you soak it. How could you offer that type of process? All the oil will be absorbed and gone by the time you turn around. The amount of oil that they used was quite little. Only 12 lug. And these ingredients were enormous. So much, close to 2,000 shekel weight of. So even just to smear, to coat the ikar and the plants, you wouldn't have enough oil, let alone end up with actual oil to be used. So what do you do? How do you do to avoid losing all your oil in the ingredients? Have you a karen? First you would bring the ingredients, soak them in water, saturate them with water, so that the oil doesn't get absorbed in the ingredients. And then he runs the oil above it. We call it as harayach, which absorbs the fragrance. And then he skims off the oil, which is now fragrant. Amalei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda responds, yeah, according to the laws of nature, you're right, but who's thinking about nature these days? Shem Mishcha was a miraculous phenomenon from top to bottom. Turn to my bits. You think Shem Mishcha only experienced one miracle? It was a long string of miracles from beginning to end. Listen to this. You start with only 12 lug, which is a relatively small amount of oil. And it was stretched and stretched and stretched. It was used to anoint the whole Mishkan and all the utensils. Ve'aron, uvanov, all throughout the 7 days, kol shivas mi'amilun. Uvanim shechu kohanim gedolim. Umalachim, they were used for kohanim gedolim throughout the generations and kings. And guess what? There's nothing missing. Ve'kulay kaim lasalavi come Mashiach times. You'll find it all intact. All 12, look, nothing missing. Apparently, we're talking beyond the laws of nature. Shnemar, Shemen Mishchas Kedesh Yeh, Zeli Dereseichem. Ze means, numerically it's 12, right? 7 and 5. Vigmatri Beis Lugan Havu. Hashem says, all 12 will be around all the time. And therefore, it's no wonder that they can just soak the ingredients and get away with it. Turn around. Vayigach Moshe Shemen Mishcha, Vimshech Hasam Mishcha. So once again, read the Aymer. Shemen HaMishcha she'asa Moshe b'Midbar. Shemen HaMishcha manufactured in Midbar was full of miracles. Harbe nisim nasavoy. Beginning to end. You start with only 12 log, which is a relatively small amount for its function. You have to discount the amount that gets absorbed in the pot while it's cooking. How much do the ingredients absorb? How much gets evaporated by the fire? And guess what? It was used for so many purposes. Okay. So he made his point. Now the Brisa continues. In terms of specifics of when it was used. Even if you have a Kohen Gadol, a son of an existing of a former Kohen Gadol, so although he's just taking over the dynasty, he needs his own anointment. But not so by a king. By a king, it carries over automatically. A king, son of a king, does not need new Mashiach. He has the mantle, but just by the way of inheritance. So that triggers a question, Vim Taimar, if you will ask, so why did they have to anoint Shlomo HaMelech, who is the son of David HaMelech, who is already anointed? The answer is, because it was contested. When it's contested, you have to restart. Because Adonia contested his reign, and that necessitated a new anointment. Another example of such, he had to be anointed, because Atalia was challenging him. Because of Yoyakim, because his brother Yoyakim, was older than him, 2 years older than him, so he was contesting, and he had to have his anointment to establish his reign. Okay, let's go back and review these halachos. Omar Mar, Bafil Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol Mashiach. So when they're appointing a new Kohen Gadol, even though his father was already a Kohen Gadol, the son requires a new Mashiach. Minol, how do we know? Dechsev. Ha'Kohen Mashiach Tachtum Banav. So the anointed Kohen from his descendants, Nema Kruav HaKohen Tachtum Mibanav. Why the word HaMashiach? Just say, his descendant, his son, who takes over the Kohuna, Maya Mashiach. What's the added word Mashiach Kamash want to teach us? Tafil Mibanov. Even if the Kohen Gadol left over a son who's taking over, how would the Mashiach have a Kohen Gadol? The son gets anointed anew. He gets the status of Kohen Gadol. He loves Mashiach. Otherwise, we have a Kohen Gadol. So Kohen Gadol always needs Mashiach regardless. But not so by a king. Amamar, a Mashiach Melech HaMelech, a son of a Melech does not need new Mashiach, unless it's contested. Minol, how do we know this is true? So Malchus carries over automatically Yerusha. So that triggers the question. So why does Shlomo HaMelech need his own Mashiach, despite being the son of David HaMelech? Machlokes Adonim, because he was challenged by Adonim. How do we know that's true? That when there's Machlokes, you need to reestablish it with a new anointment. Rather than just saying, well, any king could just pass on the Yerusha to his son, Amrapav, Amakro, Bekar of Israel. This pasuk that Leman Yaruch Yomav, which tells you that Malchus carries over, that's only Bekar of Israel when it's agreeable to all. Bezman Shalom be Israel when there's peace and tranquility. But when there's Machlokes, there's conflict, and is leadership, his status is contested. You have to reestablish with a new anointment. Tana, we have another example. Af Yehu ben Nimshi. He as well, le Nimshech. The only reason why he was anointed El Bnei Machlek is Yoram Manacha, because he was challenged by Yoram. Ask the Gemara, well, in any case, he's a first, he's not a son of. Amai, why do you have to come on to this reason? Typically, the Melech Rishinu, simply because he was the first in the family. Chesur Mechlech Tani, the bride is missing. And you read it like this. We meant to know Malchab is David Nimshmoishchen. The only ones who were entitled to be anointed by the Shabbat Mishchah was the Malchus, based David. But Malchab Yisrael, the other kings, not from David HaMelech's family, in Moishchen, we do not apply Shabbat Mishchah. They don't deserve Shabbat Mishchah, it's not for them. So then, Vim Taimah Pema Moishchah Yehu Ben Nimshi. So why did they anoint Yehu, who was not from Malchab is David? The answer is because it was contested. And Malchab is of Yerem ben Achav, and the one will ask later, well, is that a reason to use Shemar Mishcha, which is holy oil? You're not meant to use it. Out of line. We'll get to that in a minute. Amamar, Malchay based David Moishchin. We only Moishchik Malchay based David, but Malchay is Yisrael. Now, how do we know? Hashem tells Shmuel Navi, go and anoint David, right? Only him. Kizehu. We learn Zeh Toan Mashiach. Only him and the likes of him. David Melech's family is Toan Mashiach, requires Mashiach. Ain't Achatoy Mashiach, but other kings, Machal Yisrael, not from this family, are not entitled to Mashiach. Amamar, so what do we say? The reason why we were Mashiach, Yehu, despite him being from Malchus Yisrael, was because he was challenged. Amamar, Mechlek is Yoram. Is that justification to misuse the Shemana Mishcha? Umeshu Mechlek is Yoram Ben Acha, because he was challenged by Yoram, Nimoel B'Shemana Mishcha? We're going to misuse Shemana Mishcha? Because our Papa, the answer is that our Papa tells us later, it wasn't the original Shemana Mishcha, it was a copy. But Farsim Adachi, they used pure persimmon oil as a substitute. Chanam here as well. It wasn't the original Shemana Mishcha, it was by Farsim Adachi. Who else? Vesya Yochas, who was the son of Yeshua Melech, right? Rene Yoyakim. He was anointed because he was being challenged by Yoyakim, who was older than him. So Yagadim Menem, Shteshanim, was 2 years older than him. Really? Umi Kashish. Was Yoyakim older than Yoyachas? You look at the Pasuk, it seems otherwise. It seems like Yoyachas was older. Voksiv, the Pasuk enlisting the sons of Yeshua Melech, Rene Yeshua, says like this, Abachar, firstborn was Yoyachanan, who we're going to see in a minute is actually Yoyachas, one and the same person. So he was number one. Hashen Yoyachim, the second one online is Yoyachim, he was younger. Hashlishi was Sitkiyo. Haravi Shalom, who we're going to learn in a minute, were the same person. Rabbi Yochanan, who Yoyachas, who Sitkiyo, Yoyachas and Sitkiyo, Rabbi explains that Yoyachanan, who Yoyachas, the first son, the first name of the Pasuk Yoyachanan is really Yoyachas. So he's the oldest. And then we have another pair up, Tzidkiyo, who Shalom. 3 and 4 in the Pasuk are really the same person. Tzidkiyo and Shalom are the same person. He had multiple names. In any case, it would seem that Yoyachas was older, not Yoyachim. Elo, Yoyachim Kashish. No, truthfully, Yoyachim was older. V'amai karele b'chor, so why was Yoyachas, a.k.a. Yoyachanan, called a b'chor? Shebuchor l'machos. Because he was first to the kingship. He preceded Yoyachim. That's why he's listed first in the Pasuk. Ask the Gemara, why would they appoint a younger brother before the older? Umi mokmino, zuto, kamikishish. Do they then do that? Appoint a younger one before the older one. V'aksiv, we find elsewhere that it was given to the older son, because he's the oldest, Yabachar. So why was this different? The answer is, because in our case, Yoyachas was more deserving of assuming his father's mantle. He would step into his father's shoes in terms of his level of righteousness. So that's why he got priority over his brother, despite the fact that he was a bit younger. Amar. Who's Shalom? Who's Tzidkiyo? So numbers 3 and 4, Shalom and Tzidkiyo, are one and the same person. Asks the Gemara, how could you say it's the same person, but the Pasuk lists them as separate, one son, another, a third, and a fourth. But with Darik HaChash, we have four daras, four, you know, sons. Answer is, Umay kar de shlishi, shur shlishi lobanim. The fact is, number 3 and 4 are really one and the same person. The reason for calling him number three, is because he was in fact the third son. My car the Revi, why was he called number 4? Not because it's a fourth person, it's the same person. She revealed Lamalchus. Because he was actually the fourth king in the family. So after the father Yeshio, we have Yoyachas, who was Yeshio's son. Then we have Yoyachim, who was a brother of Yoyachas. Then we have Yoyachim's son, Yechaniah, and then over to the uncle, back up to the uncle, Tzidkiyo. So Shalom, a.k.a. Tzidkiyo, was really one and the same person, but he was the fourth king of the family, because his nephew preceded him. Mishum the Malach Yichani Kamei, because Yichani, who was his nephew, preceded him in terms of kingship. But Chilu Malach Yoyachos, after Yeshua, Malach came Yoyachos, a son who took over, like we said. And then next on the list, Vahada Malach Yoyachim. And then Vasef Malach Yechaniah, who is Yoyachim's son. And then back up to the uncle, Vasef Malach Tzidkia. Tan Rabban, who's Shalom with Tzidkia? So Shalom is the same as Tzidkia. Why these names? Velama Nukash Mo Shalom. Why was he called that? Shoye Shalom myself. He was complete in his ways. He was fully righteous. Davarach, another reason. Shalom. Sheshalom. Sheshalom Malchus David Yamav. He was the last king of the Beis David dynasty. So Shalom in this case means completion. He was the last on the list. Umashmoy, what was his real name? Matanya Shmoy. Shanama, we find that Nebuchadnezzar appointed him king. Shanama Vayimlech Vayamlech Melech Bavel Es Matanya Doide Tachta. So Matanya is Tzidkia, who is Shalom. He was Yechaniah's uncle, and he was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar as king. Es Matanya Doide Tachta Vayasev Shmoy Tzidkia. He called him Tzidkia. Damalech, he told him, look, you're committing to me with an oath to stay loyal, right? Amar loy, ka yatik l'chadin, Hashem should apply judgment to you, and to be if you rebel, and mishenemar v'yibiyo bebel, we find that he brought him to Babel when in fact he rebelled. V'ksiv ha'gam v'melech v'chadnetzar, marat, he rebelled against him, Hashem shbiyo v'kim, the one who imposed an oath on him. V'as the gemara, mi have Hashem v'namishcha? Did we then even have Hashem v'namishcha in the time of Yoyachos, who we said was anointed because he was contested, because he was coming before his brother, but it seems like they didn't even have access to the Shemin at that point. It was already hidden, out of sight. Atani Rav Abraisa, had the father, Yeshua Melech, hid everything, including the Shemin HaMishcha. It was inaccessible. Atani Mishenignas Arain, the same time that the Arain, which contained the Luchais, was buried and put away for safekeeping until Mashiach will come. Nignas Sinsenes Haman, along went with the Arain, went the container with the Man, which was placed alongside the Arain for display to future generations that Hashem is the ultimate provider of our sustenance. We need just do as told, learn and daven and a little shtadlus, and Hashem will provide the rest. So that was also taken away. V'slech Hashem in HaMishcha. There you go. U'makle shel Arain shkedev rocheha. And the famous staff of Aaron HaKohen, which sprouted forth nuts and almonds and blue blossoms to show that, in fact, he was appointed and chosen by Hashem. V'argas, so all these items had been placed alongside the Aaron and were hidden alongside it. And what else? V'argas, Sheshigur Plishtim, Doron Al-Kayisrael, and also the chest, the beautiful chest that the Plishtim sent along when they had taken the Aaron away, and then they returned it when they were being punished. They sent it with a nice gift. So all that was sitting alongside the Arain. Shnei v'eskol v'eskli hazov v'asher shivoysim loy asham tasim v'argas mitzidoi. So the pasuk they were speaking about the fact that they sent the golden items with this chest alongside the Arain. So whatever happened to the Arain, the chest shared its fate. And who put away all these items? Umi Gnozoi, Yoshia, Melach Yehuda Gnozoi, he did it, Shnemar, Vayim Alvim, he turned to Levim, Vim Kol Yisrael, Kdesh Hashem, he says, Tzunus Aron Hashem, let's find a good hiding place for the Aron, with all its accessories, until the redemption time. So that's not taken away to Bavel by the Goyim, right? So not only the Aron, but also all these items. How do we know? Vamar V'lazer, As Yasham Sham, because we find the Lashon Sham by the Arain, it says Shama, we find by the container of the Man, it says Shama, so it was situated alongside the Asya Doris, we find by the Shem and the Mishra as well, that's connected to the Arain, because by the Man it says Doris Seichem, by Shem Mishra it says Doris Seichem. So it shared the same faith. V'as mishmeres mishmeres. And regarding the staff of Aaron, by the Iman it says mishmeres, by the Mati Aaron it says mishmeres. So basically we learn that they all were strung together, so to speak, and shared the same faith and were placed at the same location. So back to the question, how did they have access to Shemana Mishcha to anoint Yoyachas? who came later. Amar Papa, oh, Bafarasimo Dachia Persimon oil was used instead. Tan Rabba. So we spoke about the recipe of the Shalom Mishcha, the process of making it, who they would apply it to, and now how. Tan Rabba, Moishchen, Asam Lachab Kalmin Nezer. So it really depends. Kings are anointed in a crown like formation, so they would drip some of the oil around the top of the head like a crown. But the Kohanim were different. As the Kohanim came in key, they would apply it like a letter key. Omar Nashia, came in key, Yavani is a Greek letter called key, some say it's like an X. So they would put some oil on his head, between his eyebrows, and then run it like an X over the forehead. Tanichad. So how did they do the application on the Kohen Gadol? So one Brisa says, first they would drip some on the head, then they would spread it manually between the eyebrows, as explained. Another Brisa, at first they apply it manually, then they drip it on the head, only then they drip it on his head. Explain like this. So the second opinion holds, and the first opinion holds, sorry, Meshicha means the manual application. That stands higher, that takes priority, that goes first. Meshicha adifos, the smearing goes first, and then you drip. V'ikul manda omar, and the other shita says, no, yitzik adifa, the dripping goes first. That's preferred. Why? What's the reason for that? My time. The manda omar yitzik adifa, why do we hold that the dripping would take priority? Why is that first? Shenamar, because look at the pasuk. It's stated in that order. Vayitzek Meshem Mishcha al Rosh Aaron. First he drips, and then it says Vayim Shachoisa. He would smear it. Umanda Meshicha Adi. For the other sheet holds that Meshicha comes first. The Kosava he holds Shkenes Rabbi Itzakli Shoris. Because true in terms of Aaron Gadol, they would drip it and smear it. But smearing was the only process used by Kli Shoris. Because over there it only says Mashachta. So you see, Meshicha has an advantage. It's used all around. So that would go first in the process. But in this pasuk by the Kohen Gadol, it says Vayitzik, which sounds like you drip first and then you smear. The pasuk is meant to be learned a bit differently. Reverse it. Matam Vayitzik. Why would he drip it? Because he already smeared it. Mishum Vayimshach Hayisil Kach. Turn around. Speaking of the Shana Mishch. Kshem Al Tevel Rish. Pasuk on Tehillim. Describing this fragrant oil dripping down on the head, the Yoridal Azok, and down on the beard, on Aaron Akarin's beard. Says the Gemara is an interesting phenomenon. It was two like pearl-like drips, droplets of this oil, which were permanently present in Aaron HaKohen's beard. When he would be mesaper, either he would be conducting a conversation and was concerned that perhaps the oil would fly out, or another pshat Rashi when he would trim his beard. So what would happen? So these droplets would miraculously travel up to the base of the hair of his beard. And on account of this, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, perhaps I put too much oil, I deviated, I was moyel, I put too much on Aaron HaKohen. Yotze Baskel of Arma comes out a heavenly voice and says, don't worry, Ketal Chermon, Sheyored al Haritzion, the Shemen is compared to the dew on the mountains. Matal, Einboy Me'ila, just like no Me'ila on Udu of Shemen, Sheyored, that's kind of Aaron, Me'ila is no Me'ila, don't worry about the oil situated on his beard. But Aaron, still Aaron HaKohen is concerned. V'amar, he's saying, Shema Moshe L'maya, true. Hashem put Moshe at ease, no concerns. But maybe I have enjoyed the Shema Mishcha, your fragrance has spilled over to my clothing. Ani Ma'alti, maybe I went too far. Yotze Baskel V'amar, once again, the heavenly voice calls out, not to worry. You have the same status as your brother Moshe Rabbeinu, you're free and clear. Both brothers as one. Well, just like no Me'ila concerned by Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't worry about Me'ila as well. Turn around. He meant to anoint the kings near a spring, which is a good omen, a good sign of fresh running water, which symbolizes the durability, continuity of the kingship. Kadei shetimashech malchusam shenam avayim amalach v'rat emoysel gicha nemashech ha'yishesham. So this is David HaMelech telling them to bring Shlomo HaMelech down to Gicha, into the spring, and over there you'll anoint him. That was a good siman, a good place for anointing a king for successful malchus. Okay, speaking of which, Amar Rav Ami, Haiman Deboy Leidei Moshcha Shate Eloi. Speaking about omens and signs, if a person would like to know whether he will live through the year, Maisi Shroga, let him get a hold of a lamp, a candle, Bahalein Asor Yaimin, during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Bein Rishata, between Rosh Hashanah, and Kippurim, Vinitul Bebeis Lash of Zika. Hang it up, light it in a room, a windless room. Vimashach Mahirei. So in fact, the flame burns on until it depletes the entire oil. Then he knows he'll have a safe year. Neida the Masak Shait. Uma the boy Navid Iska. Likewise, if a person is embarking on a new business opportunity, he wants to know whether it's a good idea, whether it will be successful. Uboy Dined, he'd like to know Imatach Iska Eloi Laps Hatzlacha in his business, and Rabbi Tarnagoy should raise a chicken for this purpose and see if it gets nice and plump and healthy. Oh, he knows he'll be successful. Ish shaman ashfar, if it will come plump and good, looking good, neidah the muscle, and he knows the business venture will succeed. Haiman the boy nevek boruch. Likewise, a person is embarking on a trip. Uboy the neidah yadol basically would like to know whether he'll make it back home safely. Neil nekem basically go ahead and stand in a room, the bahasa, in a slightly dark room. Ichaz, we turn to the next one. Ichaz bevoy le bevoy. He notices a double shadow. So we have a primary shadow, we have like a secondary hazy shadow. Some actually say it's the electromagnetic field surrounding a person. So if he sees that extra field, that extra shadow, bevoy le bevoy le bevoy, neida de os le beise, then he knows he'll come back home safe. Vlam we'll see. The more discourages this practice, and some say it refers to all the practices we discussed, because it might turn out that it won't look good initially and his mood will drop, and that will, and that can actually have a detrimental effect on his mazel. The happier the person, the more positive the person, his mazel strengthens, but he's discouraged, and that itself could be chas v'shalom, a catalyst to less than good things. Chol shadayti, his das will be weakened, his mood will drop. U'mishra mazal, his mazal can get weakened. Omar Abaye, hash da'amas simon emulsi, but now that we've learned that the concept of a simon is something of substance, something that has meaning, something real. Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, a person should engage in activities and eating items which symbolize positive things. He rogel inish lemeichel rishat, a person should accustom himself that Rosh Hashanah should eat the following items. And Rashi explains some of them are very sweet, some of them grow quickly, so they're symbols of success, prosperity, and atzlach. Chara, that's a pumpkin. Ruvia, some sort of plant called tilson. Karsi, leek, silka, beets, vitamri, and dates. Some farshim learn. The point of the Gemara is not that, you know, you just eat it and automatically have a good year. The point is the opposite. You're meant to connect to these items and say, look, relate to the special qualities and apply it to oneself. That's why we say yiratzim. It's not automatic. You eat it, just the opposite. Yiratzim, Chafetz Chaim Mishnah Berurah brings. He points out that it's not just abracadabra. You have to say the tefillah and commit to a personal transformation in one's own life, to get going, to get excited, to get serious about good things, which is triggered by going ahead and eating these things and internalizing their lessons. Okay, further on the topic of a siman, Omale of Mersharsha, he turned to his sons, Livnei. When you're going to learn by your Rebbe, do as follows. Kibbe Yisu, when you're wishing to go in, lemezel, to go, lemigmar, to learn kamei rabchim before your teacher, do as follows. Prepare yourself properly. Groysu miikar masnisin. First learn the mishnayos, the materials, and then, v'hada oil kamei rabchim, they go into your rebbe, where you will gain a deeper understanding of the material that you've prepared. Next, v'chi asvisu kamei rabchim, you sit in front of your rebbe, keep an eye on him. Be cognizant of his facial features, his facial expressions. Chazul ufamedi rabchin. Watch his mouth. Shanema boyu enecha roises mirecha. You'll see his expressions, and that adds to your understanding of his teachings. Vichigarisisu shmaita. And when you sit down to learn, groisu al maya. Do it near water, near a river. Dichihecha demashchemai. Just like the water flows. Timshech Shmaitzchein. Your learning will grow and develop and be successful. What else did he tell them? V'tivu, you should sit, you should live, akilku de mata machasya. Better sit on the garbage dumps of mata machasya and, you know, live a simple life, rather than the palatial homes of Pumbadisa, Vilaya Padni, rather than the mansions of the Pumbadisa, who are dishonest people. Keep away from their company. In terms of diet, Tav, it's better to have gildon, small fish, sario, which is about to spoil, not so fresh. Better to eat that. Lamecha to eat. Mikutcha the Rami Keeper, rather than kutach, which is like a spicy dip, which can crack the keeper, this. Boulders, meaning less spicy, less seasoned. Simple food is healthier. But this Paul Chanava Taimer, she davened to Hashem and expressed gratitude. Allah, Tzlivi Hashem, I'm so grateful to Hashem. Romo Karni, my horn has risen. Something related to a horn, which denotes success. Romo Karni, only that has success. V'loi benad Roma Pachi, something related to a pacha, just a container, isn't that successful. What does that mean? So her son Shmuel anointed some kings, right? David HaMelech with oil coming from a horn versus the anointment of Shaul, which was from just a pach. And we see a difference. David Shlomo Shem Shchol Bekeren, they got their oil from a keren, which denotes strength, right? The keren is an expression of strength of an animal. It's also shaped that way, like stretching, and denotes longevity and endurance. David Ushlamish Nushkhab Karen Shamachusam, their machus, endures forever, as opposed to Shol, V'yeyu. Shim Shechu Min HaPach, they got the oil from the Pach, Linu Shamachusam, their machus wasn't as enduring and not as successful. Okay, so we see the chashivas of simanim in certain times, in certain contexts. Okay, back to the beginning of the daf. Spoke about two examples of multiple variations of Isser, which are technically covered under the same lav, but generate their own consequence. We have the three types of Maser Sheni, we have the three types of Chodesh because of the extra psukim. We have four examples of the importance of Gzeira Shava. We learned about Fatim Isha Shemen for personal use is Chayev. Applying Shemen Mishcha is Chayev as well if it's the original Shemen Mishcha which he's using. We learned about the ingredients contained in Shemen Mishcha, the process of making it, the Rav Yossi's approach, the Yehuda's approach. We have a list of Nisim that occurred to the Shemen Mishcha. We learned about who the Shemen Mishcha is applied on. We spoke about the Melech Ben Melech, typically it doesn't need unless it's contested. We spoke about a Farsa Madachia option when there was no longer access to Shemen Mishcha. We spoke about the way they apply it, Kimin Nezer, Kimin Ki. We spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen regarding their concern about the Shemen Mishcha, which was not, which the Pasuk, put them at ease about. We spoke about doing the Mashiach Alamayan and learning Torah alongside the water, which is a siman for success and Hatzlach. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rabbah.